It's a blue world, alone.
Ladies and gentlemen,
hey,
welcome to episode 6 of State the Real Podcast. I'm Peter Betros. I'm here with Trent Waters and Leon Proestos.
Yo.
How are we, boys?
Yo, yo.
Pretty good.
Now, very exciting today. We have a very special guest and a good friend of mine. He's a professional cricketer. He lives locally, has a $1 million property in Regentville, got a few investments around different parts of Australia, and he's none other than Joshua Layla. Welcome,
hey.
Josh.
Thank you, boys.
Thank you very much for having me.
No worries, mate. Thanks for coming on. Now, Josh, you are pretty famous in terms of cricket, and we actually, myself, Trent, Leon, did you come to that game recently?
No, I didn't get an invite. That's all right. It's fine.
It's probably because you don't know who Shane Warne is, so we brushed you. But yeah, we went and watched Joshy play recently, Thunder versus the Heat. It was an interesting game.
It was raining.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was raining. I think it was only, what, 9 overs or something like that?
Yeah, I remember sitting in the dressing room for like 2.5 hours, and then we ended up getting on in a 5-a-side game when most of the crowd had gone home. So thanks for hanging around, boys.
Yeah. Well, I actually left early after you bowled your 1 over, because that's all you had to bowl. And Trent probably had to pay for his tickets. So I got mine for free through Josh. Thanks, mate. Josh, just quickly, mate, just for the audience out there, obviously there's probably 3,000 listening. Mate, we just want to know, how did you get to where you are now, mate? And basically, how did you become a professional cricketer?
It's an interesting question that you've started with, Mort.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's a hell of a long journey, to be honest with you. There's been plenty of more talented people that played cricket when I was young, and you were probably one of them.
Thanks.
But there are a lot of like talented players around when I was a kid, but I was just someone that enjoyed playing, enjoying hanging out with my mates, basically. And then for some reason or another, as I sort of got older and older and older, I seemed to get better and better and better. So. Sometimes you are fortunate or unfortunate enough, depends which way you want to look at it, to go out to schools and speak to kids about, they ask you similar questions. And the thing I like to tell the kids is when I was under 10s in rep cricket, I was like the worst player in the team. Like every year I'd have to check whether I'd even made the team or not. And by the time under 14s, under 15s came around, I'd sort of developed into one of the better players. Mm. And then that, as you know, Pete, playing grade cricket, it was the same. You're just always trying to make the next level, make the next level. And before you know it, someone gives you a call one day and says, you know, do you want to be a professional cricketer? And then you're sort of a little bit gobsmacked by it all. But, yeah, that was it. So it was a long road and it's taken a hell of a lot of time. I'm still not particularly good. I'm definitely not the best player on my team, but I'm still here.
Well, mate, look, I personally, as a friend, I'm not being biased, but you're a very good player, mate. And you've played in many countries. You've played for different franchises, Big Bash League. You played one recently, Josh.
CPL,
in the Caribbean. Oh, wow. So things like that. And Josh, I know you've versed players like Sachin Tendulkar, Virat Kohli. It's pretty impressive that you have played them, mate. I know, but for the battler like yourself, for us, it's pretty impressive that you've played those types of players, mate. We're very impressed by you. But we are a real estate podcast, so I suppose we should talk about a bit of real estate with you, mate. And Trent, you had a few questions for Joshy about real estate.
Well, I was going to talk more about cricket.
Well, mate, you can do either. It's up to you.
Was Pete really that good?
Very good.
Did we debut in the same game?
We did, and I bowled before you and got a wicket before you. You're beauty.
So Pete and I debuted in the same game. He's a year younger than me in cricket terms. We debuted in the same first grade match for Penrith at Waitara Oval a long, long time ago. And yeah, I am a fast bowler, but in this particular instance, somehow the big galoot got the ball before me, and even took a wicket before me.
I did. So I got 2-1 over and bowled 8 wides the next. So yeah, accuracy wasn't my strong point.
Pete, like many of the Betrosses, ultra, ultra talented, but unfortunately sort of fell by the wayside as he got a little bit older.
Maybe, as his waist grew.
Found the girls, found the beers, and less of the cricket perhaps, but no, he was very good, excellent.
Oh, that's very nice. That wasn't the answer you were expecting. Very good. Leon, do you have any questions for Joshy?
Yeah, I do actually got a question. It's not real estate related and it's not cricket related, but I keep hearing you guys say this, and I don't know if there's a backstory to it or not, because to be honest, I thought your last name was Morton, and then you start calling each other Mort all the time. What the hell is that?
Very good question. So many years ago now, when I was early in the New South Wales squad, must be 6 or 7 years ago, we weren't able to train on site for some reason. The turf pitches that we trained on weren't allowed to be used, so we had to train up the road at Sydney University. So a few of the boys and I would jump in the car to and from training together. And one of those guys was Josh Hazelwood, who, those who know Josh, is from Bendemeer, which is up near Tamworth, very rural guy. I was sitting in the car one day and he said, oh, have you heard of this comedian called King Billy Coke Bottle? I was like, no, never heard of him. So he got on YouTube and put it on in the car, like playing through the speakers, this joke about an Aboriginal, a guy named, a guy telling a story, and his Aboriginal mate in the story was Morton. So I've shown it to a few people over time, who some think it's funny, some think it's don't, but that's sort of where it stuck. He just started calling me Morton from there, and then it's grown up.
Everyone's Morton.
Yeah, well, yeah, so Josh's nickname is Mort, but then Mort, Josh calls us all Mort. It's pretty strange,
yeah.
But just for everyone out there.
I tell you what, when I'm on the maps with you boys, it's confusing. You're all going, Mort, 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 Mort. You sound like, I don't know, some type of animal. I'm just sitting there, no idea what's going on.
Wouldn't really matter for you anyway, Liam, because you're always dead.
Very good.
True? Josh, do you need to attest to this? He's the worst player out of us three.
Definitely not.
What?
Yes.
No way.
I would be.
Josh, well, I do have a real estate question for you, mate. Yes. So your first property, what was it, mate? Whereabouts?
First property is the one that my wife and I are living in at the moment. So we bought a block of land in Regentville, must be 8 years ago, or maybe nearly 9 years ago, 10 years ago. I'll tell you what, because it was during the first Big Bash, BBL01.
Wow.
And we're up to 10 this year, so 9 years ago. We bought a block of land. That's all we could afford at the time. It was $300,000.
Yep.
And we were lucky that we were both still living at home at the time. So we thought, let's just build a block of land and we'll start making repayments on that. And we'll worry about building it whenever we can afford the money. And I think maybe within 18 months or so, we built the house and had moved in. So,
awesome.
Yeah, that was it. Factory Road in Regentville. That's us.
Beautiful.
Very nice.
Awesome. Wow.
Yeah. Mm.
It's, and you built, when did you say you built?
Probably about 18 months after that. So we've been in, I think it'll be 7 months in August. So, yeah, there was probably 18 months where we sort of had to wait to see what happened with cricket, and my wife's working some different things, and we started to save some money, and then we had enough to, you know, build a home with Metricon.
Yep.
Yeah, we've been in ever since.
That's it's a common question I get asked a lot as well. How would you describe your, I guess, building experience? Would you do it again or no?
I would. It was challenging. Like, it's not as easy as, like, when you first enter this and there's, you know, there's first home buyers all over the run sheet here that I'm looking at. If you're a first home buyer, it's such an exciting time because you've got this, it's not disposable income because it's about to be chewed up by a massive mortgage, but it's such an exciting time. And when you go to show homes and things and you see what the end product's going to look like, it's very, very exciting. The salespeople are excellent at their jobs. They make everything sound rosy. And then once people start breaking ground, it can be a tricky 3 to 6 month period, definitely. But overall, it was a very positive experience, and we're very happy with the end result. So,
you would
build absolutely build again. Yeah, definitely.
And Metricon has a pretty good name. Like, when you sell a Metricon home, you definitely advertise it.
Definitely, yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
great builder.
Mm.
Good to know.
Do you have any other investments, mate, or are you?
Yeah. So, much to Pete's discretion, he's not very happy with me, but I've got two investment properties in Brisbane. One in Manly West and one in Wynnum West. So both up in Brisbane, not too far, literally about 5 minutes away from each other. So,
yeah.
And Trent, you have a couple of investments.
I've got a duplex in Wynnum West too.
There you go.
So, boys, how much growth have you seen in your two Brisbane properties?
Well, this is the argument. This is one of the next questions we were going to ask was, is it better to invest in Sydney or in Brisbane?
Yeah.
That's the question. Now, I've got two blokes in the room here. Both have two properties each in Brisbane. Since the time you purchased to now, if you spent the same money in Sydney, would you have made more or less? That's it. Trent, you want to start?
I don't want to hear your argument with Layla first.
No, you go first, Trent. Don't be a coward and wait for Layla to protect her. Okay?
I just want to see what happens. So I bought my first investment in Brizzy, Wynnum West. It's a duplex, both sides. I purely bought up there because I was listening to the real estate gurus, John McGrath, that thought, you know, Brisbane's going to be the next big growth spurt. But also, yeah, it was a lot cheaper. So it was $630 for both sides, and I was going to go and get $820 a week rent, which covered the mortgage. So obviously when you buy investments, you just want them to be, you know, long term. I don't ever want to sell that. I want that to be paid off, and hopefully when I retire, that's worth $1 million, and then I've got $1 million when I retire, sort of thing. That's the aim anyway. Growth-wise, I guess it probably hasn't. I checked with my real estate agent up there a couple of weeks ago, and she thinks it's probably worth about $700 now, maybe a little bit more, and I bought it for $630. So there's a bit of growth since 2016. The other one I've got here in Wallachia, I bought the year after I bought that one. That one probably, it's probably picked up very similar, to be honest. It's probably, it's gone up and down. I probably could have got a lot more for it. Mm. And then the market comes back. So I guess the Sydney market in the last couple of years has fluctuated a fair bit, where Brisbane has sort of, hasn't been as much growth, but it's slowly, slowly but surely got there. Well, I don't really care, because it's just, you know, tenants are in there paying for the mortgage.
So. Yeah. So that's the thing. So your rental income is probably higher compared to your
yes.
You get, yeah. So the thing that a lot of people say, a lot of experts say, is that when the Sydney market crashes or goes down, generally the Brisbane market performs a little bit better. I think definitely. You even...
That was, yeah, that was the advice that I got from... Pardon?
John McGrath
said that, yeah.
And in 2018, we had a bit of a crash, like a 20% in some parts of Sydney, and we didn't see that reflect up there, did we?
No, not as much. Definitely not as much up in Brizzy, so...
I have this theory that the only people that invest in Brisbane are people that live in Sydney.
Like, well, a lot of people
that moved to the Gold Coast live in Penrith, came from Penrith.
Yeah, 100%. That's very true. Gold Coast, yes, that's spot on. And they all have sleeves too. But yeah, so okay, so you've done it for the fact that you're going to get a higher rental income for the amount you put out of your pocket.
Yeah, and then
positive cash.
Positive cash, depreciation, you can claim tax time, which always helps.
Yeah.
Brand new, you've got the 7 years there.
Depreciation is a funny thing, because you'd be surprised. There's a lot of accountants out there that do not let you know that you can claim depreciation on a dwelling that's older than brand, like that doesn't have to be brand new.
Yeah.
Like, and a lot of people don't know that. You need to really speak to your accountant about that, because there is, like, my apartment that I bought was 8 years old, I think, my first property that I bought. 8 years old when I purchased it, and I claimed depreciation for the first 6 years.
Yeah. It's just the older it gets, the less you can
claim for. Less depreciation.
Yeah.
But you always can. Yeah. But yeah.
And Josh, why did you, mate? So obviously you've got a really nice house here in Penrith, Regentville. Why did you invest up there?
Yeah, much for the reasons that Trent spoke about. So it was all the rage a little bit, and there was a lot of positive buzz around Brisbane at the time. Obviously, just about had signed up there for cricket, so we might have been up there for a year and had seen the region that the place that we bought, the original place we bought, was going to be. And then that certainly was the case. I think we'd been up there 2 or 3 years by the time we bought the second one. So we knew the region that we were buying in. I think our properties are worth $450 and $330. So it just seemed to be, for what we could get value for money in terms of bricks and mortar and the quality of the property and the place that it was in, seemed to be a lot of the things that we were interested in, as well as all the positive buzz that we had heard. So spending $330,000 in Sydney, yeah, looks good when you sit on your high horse there and look back over the last 10 years, like it says here. But it would have been nice for you to tell me in 2014-15 what was going to happen over the next 5 years.
That's
but,
right. That's I was going to say. Works. That's right. That is hindsight. And I do have some stats here that I'm going to read out to all of our listeners. But I've got the stats for the last 10 years from a block of 2008 to 2018, because that was when the crash happened, sort of in Sydney, which would obviously change the results a little bit. But for 40 years, year-on-year growth, Sydney's just outperformed Brisbane.
Yeah.
Okay, now, even looking forward now, correct me if I'm wrong, would you even now be looking at investing in Penrith area or Brisbane with the infrastructure? And the Payne Hospital, $1 billion is getting spent on that.
Penrith.
Yeah.
And then you've got the airport. So,
have you seen what's going up in Brisbane?
What's going on? Tell us.
Plenty.
Yeah?
Like the whole city, I'm not a real estate expert, but certainly...
Neither am I.
We've been there for 5 years, and it's turning into a very cosmopolitan city. Well, I think when we first used to go to Brisbane, when I first started playing professional cricket 10 years ago, it felt not like a big country town, it's not the right way to describe it, but there was like one or two things you could do, one or two places that everyone would go to. And now there's ritzier hotels, there's ritzier places, there's the Howler Smith Wharves, which is a very swanky new part of town down under the Story Bridge. So there's lots of stuff happening up there that's very exciting. It's turning into a very exciting city. It reminds me of a mini Sydney, and I would love to live there where 10 years ago I never thought I would. Okay. So it's not that it's easy to say that we know Penrith so well because we live here, but there's also plenty going on up there as well. And another reason for me was I haven't missed out on the growth from 2008 to 2018. We've got a house, you know, where all our money's tied up in, that we've seen that growth, which we're really fortunate about. 100%. Had that crashed, vice versa, and Brisbane had done well, we've got the bit of diversification there to cover.
So you didn't put all the eggs in one basket.
Yeah, that's right. There's other ways to skin a cat. So.
Cool. So. Yeah. That's awesome. And I didn't even realise there was that much going up there because I don't care about Brisbane.
Really, really nice up there.
Right? Yeah, it sounds good. But it does sound also, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, it's a lot of cosmetic stuff up there, Mort. Josh, sorry. And what I mean by that is, like, it sounds like there's a lot of eating. I just feel like There's another study, we'll get in this another day, with the growth around an airport globally. Mm. And it's like a 1.8% as a minimum percentage growth for the first... I've got to get the stats for you. I'll get them on next show. But it's incredible what happens once there's an international airport.
100%. And also, so much more work coming in. So, it's very simple.
So
I think my next one will definitely be here, where we are.
But then the issue is, if someone just starting who wants an investment for the reasons yourself and Josh have just said, if you don't have like an apartment now, you can spend $550, in Penrith.
That's so money.
That's right. So if you can get something up there in Brisbane for $350, you're like, I can afford it, and then we'll see what happens. And you never know. Like if it does boom, look, there's arguments for both sides. I'd invest Penrith every day of the week, but that's just depends on
how much you can borrow. And then at the end of the day, the more you buy, the better anyway. Just get someone in there paying for it for you.
Cool.
Yeah.
Should I go one more question before we leave this topic? So you both have properties in Brisbane. Sounds like for a while as well. Have you had any issues in terms of tenants, or have they always been occupied?
My tenants have always... I've never had a... Yeah, I've got two, and they've always paid on time.
Because I think that's a big fear about people that invest in Queensland or Brisbane, or they just want to make sure there's tenants. How's your experience?
One of the properties, excellent. One of the properties, there was a nightmare tenant, which took 6 months worth of work to... fix and cover and cost and all kinds of things. So that was my naivety as like a young investor. So I had two different people managing two different properties. And then once that happened, it was like, okay, I've got the guy managing the first property, managing the second property, and there's been no issues since. So that was a bit of a learning for me.
Did you have landlord insurance?
Yes.
Beautiful.
Best thing about it.
Everyone get landlord insurance, please.
Who do you have leasing yours out, mate?
Sorry?
Who do you have as your managing agent up there?
That's a good question.
The
guy that sends me emails once a month. Rain and Horn.
Oh, cool. Rain and Horn. Cool. I got McGrath. But I think, from your question is...
That's why you bought up there, because of John McGrath.
But, the agent that sold it to me was working there too. But I think it's important to have a good managing agent for you too. So when things do come up, they can take care of it for you and stuff. So
agree more.
Definitely. Yeah, I think if we talk about our stuff quickly, second week back with open homes, how did they go, boys?
Yeah, really good. So basically, numbers are still looking positive, buyer confidence still there. What I've noticed this week, though, is from the previous week, I've found vendors coming to my open home that's recently gotten results on their property that are either, and that's a good thing, back to the stats that we talked about last week with Cranbrook, which is pretty general for most of Penrith suburbs. People are buying and selling, and they're staying within Penrith. So I'm finding a lot of upsizers, downsizers at my open homes that have got offers on their property from last week. So it just shows that the market's definitely in movement again.
We think we're down 50 open home attendees from the first week back with open homes compared to this week. So 220 down to 170, roughly, I think it was.
Yeah.
So that's a fair amount.
Yeah, still a lot of people.
For me, I found it a little slow, and I found my conversations I'm having with your callbacks and stuff, people aren't like that. There's a lack of just commitment, I feel, from my end side of things. Like, I'm just not getting those, like, you're squeezing your hardest to get an offer out of someone instead of, we've come off a market where there's four offers thrown at us, like, without picking up the phone. So I'm finding it a bit hard and a lack of commitment from the buyers personally, but it seemed like Leon.
Yeah. I've been getting offers, but they've been low. Like, nothing that I'm calling up my seller, really excited about. But to be, at the end of the day, at the moment, they're pretty happy to hear an offer.
Well, I reckon low offers. No, sorry, no offers.
No offers blame the agent. Low offers blame the market.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for taking that from me. Good. How'd you find the week, mate?
I had a few open homes. There wasn't crazy numbers, but there was some consistent numbers. I just found a lot of people haven't really got their pre-approval yet. They're just in the process, and banks are very, very slow at the moment. So, their brokers and the bankers said, go have a look at things, try and find something. But when you're ready, we'll let you know when you're ready to purchase, sort of thing. So I've just found a lot of people are just getting out there having a look. Yep. Hopefully they get their pre-approval soon. And
I think there might be a little bit of a delay. So what's happened, obviously, the people during COVID, even when we stopped open homes and we just had private inspections and it was a lot slower, so to speak, they had their pre-approval in a hot market.
Yeah.
So they were going to open homes and they were getting trumped every time.
Yeah.
So now they've come back to a market, and then they've bought at decent prices for them, a fair price. Mm. Now I'm finding that we're going to find a bit of a delay in terms of people trying to get their approval now. A, it's taking longer from the banks.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a bit of a ripple effect in terms of what's happened to us in the real estate market. I think it's going to be a bit tougher for us as we go on in the next couple of months, personally.
I think it depends on the property too. Like if you've got an absolute renovated cracker in a great spot, like I think you get a lot more interest in the properties. But I think for our owners, I think it's now not about how long you're actually on the market. It's about, you know, how long the buyer's been looking for. So really early offers that are happening at the moment, owners should really consider, because the longer the property's on the market, you know, people start going, oh, what's wrong with that? Why isn't that sold? Is there a person building problem? Is it too high in price? So I think if our owners are, you know, realistic, and if there's a good offer early on, I think they should consider it,
For sure. Yeah. Now, interesting stat as well. I love the stats. Auction clearance rates. So that's obviously one of the best ways that we can determine how our market's going, yeah?
Correct.
It's just, first thing I went, I think it was a Josh Fegan seminar, and it was one of the things he said. He said, if clearance rates are high, 70% plus, the market's good. Now, interestingly enough, 4 weeks ago, we had a clearance rate of 47%. Last week was 59%, and then this week we've gone up to 72%. So all of a sudden, we're at clearance rates that are pushing towards that really, really...
Yeah.
So that's a very good sign, boys, that people are still... Because as you said, as we're discussing before, Trent, auction clearance rates, people say, well, what does that mean? Okay, so you're selling at auction. But the commitment, that's buyer confidence to a T. Because you have to commit 10%, you have to go compete against other people, and you're literally buying the property there and then. Now, if that isn't showing buyer confidence, then I don't know what is. They're not protected by a cool-off period. It's just, for me, it's just really good signs for us in terms of the clearance rates and the way we're moving at the moment in the last couple of weeks.
Sure.
I definitely agree.
Awesome. All right, guys, that leads us to suburb of the week, or suburb in the spotlight, so to speak. And I'm going to use South Penrith this week. South Penrith is...
Regenville.
We should have done that, actually. That would have made sense. Yeah. But South Penrith is a popular suburb, and it's obviously one that I do quite well in. Just a few stats in terms of South Penrith, guys. The average house price, South Penrith, $676 as per the run sheet. But the interesting fact for me, and we all know it, is that even during this crisis, the average days on market is still 33 with a median house price above the first home buyer section. So you have a lot of suburbs around the 650 point, and the average days on market around 45, 40. But if you look here, you see in February, it was 20 days on market, March 29, April 28, and compare that to the average across the state, 68 days. So almost half the days on market for South Penrith with a high median average sale.
I've always said that, though. Like, even, and I've noticed that myself, when things are tough out there, you can always have an open home in a tough market at South Penrith, and you know someone's going to show up. It's always been like that. Then you got your other suburbs that are a little bit tougher. There's always buyer demand in South Penrith no matter what. Definitely. So people always ask the big question mark on South Penrith. You know, there's a lot of mixed out there. I know we as agents know that's a great performing suburb, but there's still people out there that think that South Penrith isn't a suburb of interest to most people.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I speak to a lot of buyers and they can't believe it when I tell them the numbers and how I said, in a hot market, you'll get 50, 60 buyers through in South Penrith.
Yeah, we did. And literally in February, Cam had 70 at his one at Birmingham. I had 45, I had 60 on stage.
I had 58 at Maxwell Street first
actually,
week back.
On that, Leon, just stay out of my suburb, South Penrith. Mine, mate. You keep worrying about your townhouses and apartments, leave the South
Penrith. Why don't you sell the one I've got in South Penrith at the moment?
Yeah, South Penrith, come on.
Because Brian didn't go with me. That's why. All right, guys, what about listing of the week? Quickly, we'll get into that.
Mate, I've got two blocks of land in Jordan Springs that's just come on through Lendlease. Yeah, they're go to auction actually next Saturday, so it's a quick campaign. Yeah, they need them sold. They're good blocks, 333 square metre block and a 391 square metre block. So if you've got anyone, great blocks to build on.
Beautiful. Leo?
Actually, I just listed it today. It's in Kingswood. Can't give you the address because I don't got the contract yet. But it is a three-bedroom villa with like this really big backyard. You just don't see that really in the villa market. Great for downsizes. There's only three on the block. So pretty excited to bring this one on market. Have more information about that next week.
Mine would be Barrow Circuit in Jordan Springs. It's a three-bed, one-bath, double garage, small block, backs onto the new school they're building there. Really nice, perfect, absolutely perfect for a first-time buyer. So I think that'll be very popular.
Cool.
Beautiful. Yours, Layla?
Factory Road, Bridge.
What number?
50, what did I tell you the other day? 56, 58, it's about 2.5 acres. It's not for sale, but watching it like a hawk over the next 10 years.
Why don't you sell yours? You know, you work hard, you play the sport good. Never
the sport.
You deserve to treat yourself.
What's he play again, Leon?
Cricket. You deserve to treat yourself. You need upsize. You know, you need to come home and feel like a king. Yeah. No, I think it's time.
Nice, I agree. And on that note, you're not selling it. The second part is get rid of your Brisbane investments. Come on now. Very good. What about, guys, we'll lead on to Song of the Week, eh?
Let's Song of the Week, yeah, boys. What's your Song of the Week this week?
It's a bit of a banger, so I'm very seasonal with my music. Like, 1 week it's country, I'm feeling like a country boy, fire, beer, having a great time. And then, you know, it's a little bit of old classics that I've been kind of dipping my toe into lately. But this week, into the headbangers, you could say neckbreaker. Wouldn't want to be driving by me when I'm listening to this because the head's moving. It's called I Dare You by Joss.
How dare you, boy? Sorry, is it heavy metal?
It's like heavy, like techno, like dubstep kind of thing.
I've got a question. When you said you wouldn't want to be near you when you're driving because you're are you bouncing your head outside the window of the car trying to headbutt the car, or are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty aggressive.
Oh, hang on, no.
The horn goes beep, beep, beep.
It's his Mercedes Benz that he sticks his head at the top of his little sunroof.
That's good. It. That's me. No, that's where I'm at. I don't know. I'm just very in a good mood lately. Open homes have been back. I think I'm very, my moods fluctuate with what's happening with the real estate market. Yeah. So when the market's bad, don't talk to me, okay?
So, very good. Trent, what about you, mate?
Mate, it's not really a song of the week, but it's song of the day at the moment here in the office. I don't know why we're all singing it in the back, but Rivers of Babylon by Bonnie N. We're all singing it, and I can't get it out of my head.
How does it go?
The rivers of
Babylon. Right, that's enough. That's fine.
It's the worst. I'll be in bed later on tonight going, can't sleep because it'll be in my bloody head. So,
there you go.
Great old song. I remember my mum liked being fucking in you back in the day.
Is that right, Cody? Yeah, you agree? My song of the week is always the one that plays the most on my YouTube Red account in the car. And it's Kenny Rogers' Ripper, The Gambler. What's it called? Gambler. One of the two. But yeah, that's been playing heaps. That's my one of the week. And now, Josh.
Why didn't you come to our poker night last week then?
Why didn't he? Because Kenny died. Oh. That's why Kenny Rogers didn't come.
Too soon?
Rest in peace. Yeah, that's probably a bit too soon. Why didn't I come, Leon?
Yeah, actually, you both didn't come. That's fine.
Yeah.
What about Josh? Now, Josh, when you say Song of the Week, just to let you know, obviously you listen to all of our latest episodes, yes. And the song plays in the background. So yes. What's yours, big fella?
Unfortunately for me at the moment, with a son that's a week away from turning two, it's probably The Big Red Car by The Wiggles. So in the car, in the bar, getting your change, anything by The Wiggles.
How good.
Are The Wiggles still doing their thing?
Up potato.
I used to watch The Wiggles.
Yeah. So maybe new band.
There must be new members on there because they wouldn't look too good if they're still the same.
They got rid of three and replaced them with three newbies, and they're very catchy with the kids.
Imagine how tough that'd be. Imagine having the meeting where you find out you're being cut from the Wiggles. Where do you go after that?
Yeah, that's right.
The Hooly Doolies.
God. Now, I know for a fact, Josh Layla, you are very, very keen on trivia. Now, I know also for a fact you don't drink till he's nude, that's for sure. You're more of a Pimm's drinker, Pimm's and lemonade, delicious.
Someone else
is. Are you sponsored by them or something? Or?
No, I wish.
Remember that? We went to a Melbourne Cup once at the Lapo, Josh and I, and he ordered a Pimm's and lemonade, and I was sipping a beer. It was me and my brother Ben and Josh. And I think Josh has come back from a stint in England or something. Anyway, and I had a sip of my beer, a good gulp, obviously, is my first one. And then he ordered this Pimm's and lemonade, and I couldn't hold it in. I asked Josh, I spat, I projected it, and they've looked at me. Later on that day, I think I got kicked out, didn't I?
You paid $90 for a taxi from the Lapo down to Penrith, I remember that.
That was right, I dropped you off on the M4. Jeez, how good's that? All right, so Tui's new trivia.
Tui's, I feel like a Tui's, I feel like a Tui's, drop
Tui's new trivia, Leon.
So I'm first. That's the first question.
Yeah,
all right. Who wants to be asked a question?
Go in circs, I reckon.
Go to Josh. Ask Josh a question, Leon.
Done.
When did Parramatta join the?
Why do you say Parramatta? Layla, Josh. Every time he's been on here, he said he's had a few Parramatta questions. Pyramid. When did Parramatta?
That's how you say it.
Parramatta.
Join the, I don't even know what this is, so you're going to have to help me out here. NSWRL. What's that?
New South Wales Rugby League.
Well, why didn't they just rate that? Jesus.
So when Parramatta
drop, yeah, year. Give me a year.
I'm gonna need. This is what I do at trivia more. If I don't know the answer, I've got to work through. I've got to work through it. So, had a couple of friends whose parents played for them. That means they would have played in the 70s. Thinking back to the time, I've just seen, like, when did the Dragons win all their premierships? What was that? 60s?
I have no 50s idea. I'm shocked like that.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm going to say 1969.
That's wrong.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks. What is it?
Yeah, just a couple decades off. 1947.
47?
The 40s.
Just after the war. Is that during the war? World War Four. I was going to say World War Two finished 1994. 1994, World War Two ended. Boys started in 1939.
Yeah, I remember it vividly.
Yeah, I can tell you. Yeah. All right, I've got one. I'm going to ask a question. Sorry, I've just cut you off there, Josh.
All good.
We're supposed to go clockwise. Yeah. I'm actually going to ask this question to Trent Waters. I do. It's fun because you're so silly. Over what distance is the Storwell gift run each Easter?
The what?
The store gift.
The store will gift.
The store. There's no. Don't say the W.
Store? Like
STAW?
What's that? It's like it's a handicap. You would have seen it occasionally as a kid. Someone would have flicked it on. So lots of people go to a place called Store, which is in, I think it's regional Victoria.
No idea. So it's STAWELL.
And it's a handicap race. So guys start at different lengths, which makes it a really interesting question.
It's a human sprint. Go. How far is it?
Oh, it's probably 500 metres.
Nah, it's 120. So okay. I had no idea about that. 120 metres, so it's a sprint.
Why is our guests always very smart. Good at this?
I don't know. I think they cheat and they check the bottle cups.
Yeah, they must Google it before. They must Google it every answer possible.
Trent, do you want to ask me or Leon a question?
Hey, Leon. what is the closest state capital to Kangaroo Island?
Oh, that will test me.
Queensland.
State.
Northern Territory. Western Australia.
The state's not capital cities.
Victoria.
What is the closest state capital to Kangaroo Brisbane. Island?
Adelaide, I'd say.
Adelaide.
Yes, Leon. Yes.
Not Parramatta. He said Parramatta.
Kangaroo Island. That's obviously the island with the kangaroos.
It's actually almost sadly just burnt to a crisp recently. Yeah. It was like nearly 90%
of the kangaroo population completely
It's just a name.
Well, that's very misleading.
Okay, so
it's kangaroos around the corner, mate.
Misleading or misleading?
Misleading.
Okay, Leon, I'm going to ask you a question because you're funny to ask because you suck. Leon,
Northern Territory.
In what year was the first best of three State of Origin rugby league series played?
What year?
Yeah, actually, all three of you can have a crack at this. I'll start off with you.
Like, what's the deciding factor that it was the best?
No, not the best. It said which started.
I have a real issue with the way that you listen to questions. Because he asked you about a capital city and you started naming states.
He did.
And then he asked you for a year and you started naming it.
Ready, listen to this question again. In what year was the first best of three State of Origin rugby league series played? So currently there's a best of three rugby league series played, right? Okay. When did that commence?
Oh, so see, this is because I don't know the sport. This is why I don't hear the question right. So stop bagging me. Best of three. In my mind, I'm thinking, who's deciding that this was the best three games? Well, that's obviously what you guys call the best of three. So watch your mouse. So when it all started is
just
what you're
asking.
Just
give me a year, bro.
Yeah.
So if Parramatta played in 1947,
yes,
I reckon it would have been before that.
Yeah.
Correct?
Okay, man.
Give me the hint. Is it before that?
No, just give me a number now. Definitely not. It's after.
Okay, after. Okay, so they obviously didn't decide the states needed a battle. Just the war happened. They were just getting over that. I'm going to say 1968.
No.
I'm going to say like 80. I reckon we're up to about 40. We're not far away from 40 years. So I'm going to say 85.
Close.
Oh, I was thinking like late 70s.
Nah. Definitely in the 80s.
87.
81.
82. 82. Yeah. I wouldn't pick that, eight. All right, well, that's a two-year trivia, boys.
I feel like a tourist. I feel like a tourist.
Just wanted to, obviously a bit more cricket stuff, mate.
Yeah.
What's your favourite stadium you've ever played at?
Or the Gabba is one of the best. The halftime show at the Gabba during the Big Bash is as good as I've been to a few different sports around the place, and it's certainly one of the best sporting spectacles that I've seen, and luckily enough get to basically warm up while it's going on. So The Gabba, when it's rocking and Chris Lynn's hitting Sean Tate out of the stadium, is a pretty impressive place to be.
Yeah, nice.
Outside of that, we'll go with the Gabba.
Gabba, mm-hmm. Beautiful.
What's the biggest crowd you played for?
Oh. Question. I reckon was it the biggest? Oh, New Year's Eve. So I've had two big-ish crowds for games of cricket, and I haven't done very well in either of them. Oh, actually, no. I started off well in both of them and finished really badly in both of them. So I think I played the last game of the season for the Sydney Thunder a few years ago, BBL 04, and there was pretty close to 40,000 at the SCG. Wow. Yeah. And I went for 23 off the last over to lose the game on the last ball. So that was a positive one.
So what was the crowd reaction? Like
they were wrapped because he wasn't playing for them.
Yeah.
He was the enemy.
It was a Sydney Sixers home game. So the ball, I remember Stephen O'Keefe, I bowled a shocking ball. Stephen O'Keefe tried to hit it out of the park and inside edged it, and it ran away behind square leg for four. And as it was rolling for four, when you're playing in front of big crowds, it's like white noise. Like you don't really
take it in. That was going to be my next question. Yeah, is it just background?
It's just background noise. But as the ball's running away, I'm like attuned to the crowd, right? So the crowd is getting louder and louder as I'm becoming less involved in the game. And then the ball rolled into the rope and it went for four. And that was very, very loud.
And the Sixers.
Very, very loud, yeah. And then I haven't watched it much since, to be honest.
Oh, so thanks for bringing it back.
too soon.
What about, because you played in India.
No, you played against India.
Oh, sorry. How are
two games here? Yeah.
In here, eh?
Yes. Yeah.
How are those sort of fans to play against?
I remember, we played a tour game against. I've been lucky enough to play against a few times. So I played two games against them. Must be 7 or 8 years ago now in Canberra, and then two games against them the next time they came out, which is about 4 or 5 years ago, both in Adelaide. And the first time that I played against them, they were an excellent team. So Tendulkar, Laxman, Dravid, young Kohli. No one knew or really cared who Kohli was at that point. He was just a kid. He got 100 against us. But guys that are true greats of Test cricket. So I got to bowl to them on a beautiful flat Marnock Rover wicket and couldn't get anyone out. But they had thousands of fans rock up for a trial game in Manuka, absolutely in screaming, passionate guys and girls that probably don't even live there, but just absolutely love cricket and drove a long way to see these guys play.
So you could imagine what it would be like playing in India.
Playing in India and some of those absolutely packed stadiums.
IPL would be a dream.
IPL would be excellent. Yeah, it would be a dream. But you hear mixed reports from people that go over there because, it's exciting, but they treat cricket almost like a religion, right? So you've got to be a bit careful. You can't sort of cruise around like you can. You can't go down the road to local cafe and have breakfast on game day or anything like that. But I think India would be pretty intense, yeah.
Awesome. So on that note, best batsman you ever bowled to, you'd have to say Tendulkar, surely.
Tendulkar, Kohli, Gale.
You got Chris Gale out. You clean bowled him one game.
Yeah, Chris Gale.
In the Big Bash game.
Playing for Thunder.
Yeah, yeah. probably a couple others that I've forgotten as well. Steve Smith's obviously a Jet, but Tendulkar made me feel like I was playing cricket underwater. He had so much time.
What about them? This is the one that I like because nothing's better than a fast bowler in cricket. Oh. Fastest bowler you've ever faced?
Good question. Two guys. I actually played them both at Gold Coast Stadium in the last couple of years, to be honest. There's a guy who played this year that did really well for the Melbourne Stars, Harris Ralph. Who bowled absolute thunderbolts and was hard to pick the ball up. So he was one, probably bowled high 140s, 140 kilometres an hour plus. And then 2 years ago was Jofra Archer, who England World Cup hero. He's actually a Barbados lad, but plays for England now. And we had to play them a couple of years ago and we got skittled, as we occasionally do for the Brisbane Heat. And I had to come in and face a couple of overs of him and he bowled absolute thunderbolts as well. But him for four, luckily.
What about who's the best circuiter? Who's the best on the drink?
Chris Lynn is. he plays. He lives like he plays. He goes 100 miles an hour, works hard, plays hard, stays up till sunrise, but then goes out and makes sure he gets the job done as well, whether it's training or on the park. So
what a legend!
I've
had a conversation with Josh before. He might suit our taste a bit, Trent, in terms of a beer, tab.
I spoke to him a few weeks ago during COVID just to check in with him, see how he was going. And he said, mate, I can't believe I can't get to the Story Bridge. He said, one of the big hotels up there.
Yeah. Is it a good place, the Story Bridge?
Story Bridge Hotel.
Story?
Beautiful. Story Bridge Hotel. Yeah, it's beautiful. But as I said, Pete, there's a lot more new pubs and nice places popping up all over Brisbane.
Fair enough. That's all cosmetic, as I think, for an economy anyway. But all right, guys, just quickly, I'm just going to go to business of the week really quickly. So I've got a conveyancer. Her name's Kieran, and she works for Kalara and Associates. Now, she's fantastic. I don't know if Trent and Leon have used her at all. I use her for a lot of my stuff, and the reason I do that is because she's mobile. So she's not, you don't have to go to the office. She'll go to you any day, any time. And she just makes it so easy. Yeah, really, really convenient and efficient. And I think she's absolutely fantastic. She's only young too, and she's growing and growing, but she's fantastic. So that's Kieran from Kalara and Associates.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Nice.
Well, that was good fun. That was a good one, boys. I think, obviously, thanks for coming, mate. Really appreciate it. We hope you had a bit of fun. I just want to end with a joke like Pete did last week.
Oh, is this a new thing now? Yeah,
I'm going to ask this to Leon. Leon, if you had a choice to eat a baby carrot or a matter baby, what would you choose?
A what, sorry?
A matter baby.
A matter baby.
So a choice between eating a baby carrot or a matter baby, what would you choose to eat?
Oh, I'm supposed to say,
is that a paramount baby?
What's the matter, baby?
You suck, man. My mate called me before I'd done that to me on the phone, and he said, and I was like, maybe I can't hear him. Maybe it's breaking up. I said, oh, obviously a baby carrot, man, but what's a matter, baby? And he goes, oh, nothing much here. And I was like, shit, thanks for ruining it, Leon. What's ruining Parramatta? Oh,
sorry. Stop being so smart.
Oh, man, Parramatta's ruined that name for me now.
Parramatta Eels.
Can't wait to go to the Parramatta Westfields next.
Oh, I don't know how to do it. Well, yeah, thanks again, Joshy.
You.
It's been really good, boys.
Thanks for coming.
Peace out and happy real estate.
Happy real estate.
Yo, 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 yo.